Welcome back or welcome to the Single Track Podcast. I am your host, Finn Melanson, and in this episode, I am talking with Adam Peterman, Adam Mary, Jeff Colt, and Eric LaPuma. These four runners represented the United States men's team in the 80K event at the World Trail Running Championships in Chiang Mai, Thailand earlier this month, and they won the gold medal. We cover a lot of ground in this conversation, including why each of these guys chose to race this event over other opportunities in our sport, what training and the rest of the lead up to the race was like, what the scene was like, what the ambiance was like in Chiang Mai, of course, how the race unfolded for each of them, the post-race stuff, whether they do it again, and we conclude with what 2023 might look like from a racing standpoint for each of them. Before we get started with the episode, it is brought to you by Gnarly Nutrition, Kodiak Cakes, and Inside Tracker. Use the discount codes in the show notes section of this episode for the best deals in trail running on all of their products. With that, let's get started. With Jeff Colt, Adam Peterman, Adam Mary, Eric LaPuma, this is another episode of the Single Track Podcast, a special episode because we are celebrating world champions here today. Most of you are veterans of the podcast. Eric, this is your first time on the show. So before we kind of get into the meat of the episode, can you give listeners and viewers a quick background on how you got into our sport and kind of what makes you tick?
Sure. So my name's Eric LaPuma. I'm a runner and graphic designer from Richmond, Vermont. I'd say in running, I kind of dabble in a little bit of everything. I've done a bunch of road ultras. I've done like your standard mountain ultras, kind of every sort of distance. Mostly do like 50K, 50 mile stuff these days. But yeah, that's pretty much my running in a nutshell.
Right on. And you had a hell of a performance in Thailand. We'll get into that. But I think the first question I want to ask you guys, and whoever wants to take it first, by all means, there are a lot of enticing events and series in our sport right now. There's Western States, there's the Golden Ticket Series, there's the UTMB World Series, Golden Trail Series, et cetera, et cetera. Can you guys talk about why you wanted to focus making a US world team and like what that process looked like to get in? So maybe, I don't know, Jeff, you want to start this?
I feel like we should hit it over to Eric because he was the one member of the team that was qualified, not selected by committee.
Let's do it. Yeah, Eric, take it away.
Cool. Yeah, I got on the team by placing second at Broken Arrow. Broken Arrow was the only selection race this year. There was supposed to be another one in Oregon, but it never happened. So they decided to give top two at Broken Arrow instead of top one. So I got on the team that way. I didn't even know that Broken Arrow was a selection race when I signed up. So it just kind of worked out. And then with the race being in Thailand, I felt like I couldn't turn it down. Like, I'm never going to go to Thailand or maybe even Asia again. So it seemed like an opportunity that you just have to take.
How about the why for this? Like, does this feel like it's on the same pedestal as the Olympics and all those feelings of like representing a country and nationalism and stuff like that? Like, can you guys talk about the why for doing this at the expense of other racing opportunities out there?
I don't feel like it's at like the same level as the Olympics, of course, but representing your country is always super unique, and we do get the same uniform that the track Olympians use, so that is super cool. There's a lot of other races you can do, like UTMB or Western States. I didn't put a ton of effort into trying to get into Western States. I gave one golden ticket race a shot and it didn't work out. So kind of gave up on that. And then UTMB, I figured I have so many years to try that in the future, but only probably one chance at racing in Thailand. So those are all things that I'd like to do eventually, but this one just kind of worked out this year.
How about the rest of y'all?
One thing that I feel like was super special, and I think I kind of expected it, but it happened like day one traveling to Thailand was started by Jeff. You know, I got decked out in all my USA gear for the travel. I saw him do that on Instagram and I was like, okay, it's starting from when we leave the house. And dude, in the Denver airport, I was on that that train, and an airport worker, a brother, just like tapped me on the shoulder, and he was like, "Hey, like, what sport do you do?" And I was like, "I'm a runner." And he just put out his hand, dapped me up, said, "Win," and got out of the train. And it's like, that would never happen if I was wearing like Saucony stuff or like was going to any other race. And I think, like, to Eric's point about representing your country, it's just like such a special and unique opportunity. So that's part of what drew me to the race.
I love that. Oh, that's so cool. Jeff,
how
about you?
I think, you know, I've been somewhat critical of USATF and their selection processes and like qualifying races. And I was interested in hearing whether or not Eric like targeted that race to get on this team or not. Cause I did want to figure out the target race and get on this team. And I couldn't figure out that information when I needed to know it. So, the fact that I was chosen for this team by selection, I was like really grateful. A little surprised because I didn't hear much back from the USATF organizers between January and September. So I kind of thought the ship had sailed. All of that said, the USATF Mountain Ultra and Trail team, they are volunteers. They are doing this because they are passionate about the sport, and hanging with all of them, they're amazing. The team that represents kind of the MUT community from USATF on like the volunteer staff side are phenomenal people. It was a really, really special experience. I think in my world, I'm still going to focus on a potential golden ticket race for 2023, but I'm happy to turn that ticket down if I can go to the USATF team organizers, ask them if my performance at that race gets me a spot on 2023 Worlds, because after my body's response to Western States this past summer and having 2 months of just being wrecked, I'm more interested in going to Innsbruck and having a repeat win for Team USA at World Championships than I am going back to Western States. So that's like just the direct answer of where I think it stacks up. I think this is what we want to make it. This was the first inaugural World Mountain Trail Running Championships. Team USA won. The rest of the world should be pretty perturbed and ready to come, you know, fight us in Innsbruck, because we were not expected to win in the men's 80K. And it was a really cool race. It was a really hard fought race, I think, all around. So I think I got some of that like representing USA bug. It felt really cool. I definitely felt my teammates out there with me in a different way than I typically do. I also think that it's a long season. Like, these are a 40K or an 80K race. That's something a lot of us do a couple of. It's not UTMB. It's not Western States. It's not this like 100K plan for 4 months and then have a month or 6 weeks recovery. You can likely go represent the USA or represent your country and still have a robust year of competing.
Jeff, I didn't realize it was an entirely volunteer organization, by the way.
Yeah. So I didn't either.
In context.
It puts a lot in context for me after like years of kind of scratching my head being like, sorry, how do I get on one of these teams? Like, how are people finding out this info? But they are being, you know, I think they're starting to communicate the 2023 election process like as soon as now. It sounds like Lake Sonoma for the 80 kilometer race will be that like kind of qualifying criteria. So I think on the USATF side, if we do a better job communicating qualifying criteria in those races, we're going to have a better team toe the line. And I think, you know, this was a makeup race. Next year's has been on the schedule. Hopefully every other country is putting their best foot forward as well.
Adam Peterman, I want to get to you in just a second, but Adam Mary, to go back to your train story, I'm fascinated because, yeah, like you said, you wouldn't get that recognition if you were just draped in branded gear, but having that country or geographic anchor makes all the difference. And maybe we'll talk about it later in the episode about how wearing like the USA jersey can lead to like breakthrough performances, just because there's like that added meaning to the whole experience. But I don't know. I just wanted to reaffirm how awesome that moment must have been. But yeah, Adam Peterman. Yeah. Adam Peterman, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I was really excited about Worlds. I think probably goes back to like college days. I think all of us had dreams of representing Team USA and like wearing that kit. And then like what was kind of mentioned earlier, how World Trail Running Championships and World Mountain Running Championships consolidated in this year, and it's all organized by the World Athletics. Just got me kind of excited to see where it would go. And yeah, like I was totally blown away. I think we all had a really good experience, and like the race was really well organized. It was like one of the most well-marked courses I've ever run. And yeah, just overall, like the experience kind of blew my socks off. And like what Jeff said, our volunteers were so awesome. Like I think we had four men and women each in the 80K and four men and women each in the 40K. So 16 people total. And then three volunteers staffing an aid station.
18 total. Yeah.
18 total, crewed by three people, and they crushed it. Like, yeah, they were amazing.
I'd love to give the audience some insights into like the behind the scenes of this whole process. And so, and maybe we can kind of go around the table again. When you make this team, like in the months leading up to the event, what does the communication look like with the US organization? What resources do you receive? Like, are you five teammates introduced to each other? Do you start talking to each other, like getting hyped? Like, what is that? What does the lead up to this event look like for you guys?
So we started receiving like a ton of info, like endless emails, which were all super informative and helpful, but we received so many of those, like probably like starting 2 months before the event. We weren't necessarily introduced to each other, but like we all follow each other on Strava and Instagram and would start like messaging each other a little bit, but we were pretty much all strangers until we got there. And then it was like pretty instant that we just became friends. It worked out super great in that respect.
I think Eric's scenario might have been a little different because he was at least aware that he was going to this race. On my end, and I think for those of us who are selected, we found out September 21st or so, and with a race date of November 5th, that's like 6 weeks of training. So I think it's fortunate that all of us were doing some running, because saying yes on a 6 week build would have been psycho. So I think my only feedback is that like learning you're on the team could happen sooner, and that would be more productive, I think, all around. But communication, like there was a physio on site, you know, there, she made herself available to us prior, you know, if we had any questions. We were, yeah, equipped with a lot of USA gear. I think general information on travel, like expectations, and travel arrangements, and like what USATF, mountain running, like would be able to cover in terms of costs. So outside of like the window of the hotel, a lot of us showed up earlier and they helped us book Airbnbs so that the team was together and we had some community prior to like the actual official, start of housing. And there's a lot of veteran runners on this team. So Andy Wacker, like, took a lot of lead and helped with kind of logistics and arrangement. And the runners who are coming back for their second to fifth world championship, I think were really helpful resources going into it.
Yeah, definitely. Just to plug, I think Atra like picked up our Airbnb when we got there, and which Andy facilitated. So it was really cool to have the kind of spread of more junior, like world team members and super senior men and women like Joe and Andy and all of them. It was, yeah, made for a really fun like group of folks when you got there. And just to like add an additional angle, like we had these like pre-travel calls to answer our questions and give us information, which was super helpful. And I felt like that allowed the team members to get to know each other a little bit and just like put a face to a name on a Zoom call. And then, yeah, to what others have said, like when, as soon as we hit the ground there, it was like instant friendship and a ton of camaraderie. Just, I felt like across like the group of 40 plus of us that all had that USA gear. And it was just really special.
Yeah. And it was kind of cool too. Like, I think a lot of us on the 80K team had kind of known each other just through ultra races that we see each other at. But like, because there's like a 40K and then the shorter races as well, there was like a lot of different people that we might not have seen at our regular races. And especially for like the few of us that have ties back to Colorado, there was a ton of people represented from like who live in Colorado currently, or for me, like who used to run at University of Colorado. And yeah, it was fun just to like connect with all those people too.
Maybe before we get into the race itself, I'd love to have you guys build up or give the listeners and the viewers a sense of what the pre-race scene was like. Like, does this compare to any events you've done before in your ultra running career? Like, what did the pre-race ceremonies look like? The start line, all that kind of stuff. Like, Eric, take it wherever you want, but I'd love to kind of create the ambiance for the listeners.
Yeah, so I got to Thailand about a week before the race. I stayed with Dan Kurtz. We had an Airbnb. So for a few days, like before we met up with the rest of the team, we were just kind of walking around Chiang Mai, just kind of hanging out. We ran over the course a few times, just like normal tourism type stuff. And then once everybody started getting there, it was a lot of fun because we would just have meetings where we'd get to meet the rest of the team. We got to meet all the volunteers. And then we would do like some more course previews with just other groups. And the race organization had like a huge opening ceremony. This is the third U.S. team I've been on, but the first trail team. And this was just like much bigger than anything I've ever been to. It was really cool. Just a huge parade with all the different countries. They had fireworks like in the middle of the city for us, which was really, really cool. It blew any race that I've ever been to out of the water in terms of just pre-race fanfare and just overall excitement.
One thing that was like unique that was part of the buildup that I've never had, even at big races where I have teammates, you know, like that are also sponsored by the same brand, is that like having a, like the 80K team, the men's team, at least the four of us, like it felt so different to be thinking about going into this race, like as a team and kind of like working together, talking about the race. And like, of course we're all going to go out there and try to do our best individually, but like this collective, like camaraderie, like going into the race, I thought was like really unique and just gave it a totally different feel. Almost for me, harkened back to like my team sport days that just, yeah, like put the event for me like over the top in terms of any other race. And then to Eric's point, like the fanfare was like much higher. It definitely felt more, I would say, elevated even over UTMB in terms of like the officiality of everything. And so that was kind of like, I don't know, interesting and really cool to experience.
Yeah, true. I agree that the like having you guys around as like teammates definitely made it like it elevated it for sure. Like it felt like I was back on a team again. You know, we're like walking around in our USA gear, like in our sweats, and like doing little warm-ups for the race, and you're in the call room like really early before the race, like weighing all your gear. And that was, I really liked that. Like, yeah, it was nice to feel like you weren't really alone out there, especially since we're all the way in Thailand. And then, yeah, to Eric's point, like that opening ceremony was unbelievable. Like it felt like we're in the Olympics almost, you know, like people are carrying the flag. There's all these different countries represented. There were fireworks. The announcer was just going nuts. Like, yeah, it was, lot more energy than even some of the like pretty big ultras I've been at. So it was, yeah, it was really cool.
One element I was really grateful for was like logistics or taken care of. There wasn't a lot to think through on the aid stations, and there wasn't a lot of like strategy or, you know, like, it's like, all right, give your stuff to, you know, our three US representatives who are going to be at the aid station that we'll come to three times. Our meals were kind of arranged before the race. So in the lead up to the race, like a couple of us did a cooking class, which was really fun. There was like some walking around, seeing Chiang Mai. We did a couple group runs over on the course and scouted different parts of it, which I'm really grateful we did because we scouted that last major climb, which was a doozy. But, you know, I think prior to Western States or prior to competing at CCC, like I just felt maybe overstimulated and like there was all these unknowns and it didn't really feel like there were a lot of unknowns because I think the volunteers with Team USA took care of a lot of our logistics. The only like real sharp learning curve was like, how do we get around this city? And we all had our own experience. Like, I'm like, all right, like the dollar is really favorable here, but we don't really speak any Thai and we don't know what car we're supposed to hail if we want a cab or whatnot. So like there were some little adventures prior to the race, but for the most part, it felt like the Team USA made it really easy for us, which it's great because we were there to focus on the race. And I think our team was able to come together and bond and think through, you know, our approach to the race with a lot more ease because of the work that was done for us.
One more thing I want to hear you guys talk about before we get into like how your days went and how it all led to this Team USA win. Maybe Eric, starting with you, talk about the challenges presented by this course and what you knew going into the race about what kind of fitness you needed to build and what the reality was out there, the challenges, the environment, all that kind of stuff.
The only thing I really knew about the course was that there was a ton of vert, like more so than any race that I've ever done. Probably on par with like some of the races at UTMB. I knew one of the biggest challenges for me was going to be the heat. I've historically run pretty terribly in really hot races, and this was projected to be in the high 80s, the low 90s, and extremely humid. So that was kind of the biggest challenge that I was worried about. And then the other thing that I really just had no idea about was, what is the terrain like in Thailand? It ended up being extremely similar to Vermont, which was great for me, but I just had no clue. Was it going to be super technical with giant roots and vines everywhere, or was it going to be closer to something like in Colorado? So I really didn't have a ton of info on the course going into it. I probably could have gotten more if I looked a little bit harder, but it was kind of exciting to go into this just knowing nothing about the course. I only previewed like the final 10 kilometers of it, and I wanted to do it that way so that everything that I saw that day would be new and exciting. And it ended up being that way. It was just one of the most unique, exciting courses that I've ever seen. And I'm sure I won't run too many cooler courses than that.
I mean, yeah, same. Like looking at the course profile before we went over, it was just like a reality check, like had to do a ton of vert in the lead up. But yeah, I mean, same as Eric, like I've never run in such a humid, like jungly environment. So didn't really know what to expect. And yeah, as I'm sure we'll get into later, there were like some surprises, but some good, some bad. But it was, I don't know, like it was pretty weird, like going in blind like that. But yeah, super lucky. Like I think Adam and Jeff, we saw a little bit more of the course, which was nice. But yeah, basically like I got in the sauna a little bit before I went. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to prepare for like such a different race that's like halfway across the world in the jungle when you live in Colorado.
Yeah, I think similar stuff. I was so it's what, 80K, so 48 miles with about 16,000 feet of climbing. And so it was like the vert was packed in there. And when I saw that initially, I kind of thought like Thailand didn't have big mountains. I thought it was just a bunch of like small climbs just all over the place. But like the climbs were big. like one of them, the first one right off the bat is almost 5,000 feet. And then from mile 35 to 40, you have another 4,000 feet. And it was like, yeah, it was a gnarly course. I thought it would feel hotter. I think we all talked about the heat so much that we all were pretty well prepared, but the humidity was just definitely like the hardest part. Fortunately, like a lot of the course was at a little bit of altitude from the valley floor. And so it wasn't too hot unless you were like actually down in the valley. But yeah, overall, like the course was, I think, faster than we all thought. I think we thought to win it, it would be like 8 and 8.5 hours. And that ended up being the women's winning time. So, even though it was a really hard course, I think we were all surprised by how fast we all did it.
Yeah. On that note, I think had that competition not been there, I probably 8.5 hours would have been a really great target time. I think that would have been awesome. It was a fast crowd. Like we got pulled along certainly. And to be in contention, you had to be running really fast. But going into it, there was a lot of uncertainty on what the course profile actually was and what the route of the course was. The only thing I heard was that there was going to be about a 25-mile loop that no one was really going to go see, that like everyone would be at that same disadvantage because it was pretty out there. But yeah, my only real insecurity was like whether or not I was going to have my aid station snacks. So I bought all my groceries in the States before going over. Turns out I like pretty conventional snacks and potato chips are global, but
I think it's probably a good time to get into like how each of your races went and how it contributed to the win. For context, back here in the States, fans like myself, got to give a huge shout out to Free Trail and the photojournalism work of Corinne Malcolm and Mike McMonagle. Like, I feel like they brought incredible coverage to an event that might not have gotten the same attention that like a Western States gets, but I felt like it was almost elevated above that. But there's still a lot that I don't know about, like how your days went. So Eric, maybe starting with you, like maybe riff for like 2 or 3 minutes on like the most memorable moments of the day and like areas where like you were overcoming just like fatigue or adversity, stuff like that, to deliver the performance that you delivered.
Yeah. One of the most memorable parts of the day was running about 17 or 18 miles with Jeff. It just worked out that we were running at the same pace for almost the first half of the race. And, it was awesome for me. Like I would have ran, I think, a little bit slower in the beginning if Jeff wasn't there. He's a much stronger descender than I am on some of that terrain. So just getting pulled behind him was great for me. And then I think besides coming into the aid stations and seeing our volunteers, two of them are from New Hampshire, so they're people that I know pretty well, Paul Kirsch and Tom Hooper. So that was super memorable for me, just to have them like dumping water on me and switching out my bottles. But besides that, I think the coolest part of the day for my own race was coming into the final aid station. I think it was around mile 40. I really had no idea what place I was in. I thought maybe I was in like somewhere between 10th and 15th. And I got to the aid station and I think it was Paul was like, you have to pass these three people. And I think it was like a Slovakian dude, a Spanish dude, and a French guy. And they're like, and I asked them what place I was in. They're like, we don't know, but you have to pass these guys. And at that point I was pretty toast. I was just so tired and like, if this hadn't been a team event, I was totally fine not passing these guys. Like I was already pretty satisfied with how my world championships had gone. But there was this, like, so basically at this point you're running down the vertical course. So it's like a pretty steep sandy section, super loose. And if your quads are blown, like you're pretty screwed there. So I quickly passed two of the guys in that descent. And then going into the final 700-foot climb on this bottom loop, I knew that the last dude, I think it was the Slovakian guy, was pretty close, and I ended up passing him on the final descent. Made sure to look way better than I felt, just to kind of make sure that he had no ambitions of being able to pass me. And then passed him and turned on the final flat road section and ended up coming in seventh, which was way better than I could have ever imagined. And it was such a cool memory to have.
Yeah, man. Well, most memorable part of the day for me, definitely, and I'm sure like other teammates would agree, like the back like marathon part of the course, you just went to these like super remote places, and we went through this village, ran by this waterfall, like ran actually through this like terraced flower garden thing with farmers out there. Like the race course went through it, went through this village, all the like kids and families are out there like cheering for us. And it was just like this moment I had of just like, this is the coolest race experience I've ever had. I'm in like Northern Thailand in this super remote place. And yeah, I just would have never been there. And so I was just like really, yeah, like appreciative for that moment and the course taking us there. For me, it was cool. Like, I guess like the way the race went out, like, as most races do, it's like super fast kind of road start. And then it just like narrowed down into this single track. So there was like congestion, and I ended up a little bit behind Eric and Jeff. So I was like seeing them coming out when I was coming into the first aid station, and then like kind of similar thing with, I don't know, like the mile 17 or 20 aid station. I don't remember which one it was, but, yeah, like for me, I had some pretty serious like cramping issues. I did my best to manage my electrolytes, but it kind of manifested at mile 30 of like just, you know, working really hard and not going very fast. But the one cool thing that was unique about like, you know, running at a world championship race is like I had like zero thought of quitting because of you're wearing that, you know, kit. It was just like I was just trying to do the best I could. And, yeah, I don't know. It was a really like interesting feeling to just not have that thought enter my mind at all. Like you know, we've all been there of just like, my day's not going very well. Like maybe I'm going to like hang my head and kind of just limp it in. I did do the best I could, like, all the way to the finish, and, kind of had a like meltdown after I got to the finish line. But, it was like a really special day, and I kind of had updates about my teammates, like as my day was unfolding, about how their days were unfolding. And I was just like so pumped to hear like Adam was just like opening up a massive gap on the field, and like Jeff and Eric were running out of their mind. And so, yeah, that definitely helped propel me forward too.
Well, one thing before we get to Jeff Colt, and Adam, I think you raised a really interesting point. If any one of you happens to, let's just say, suffer an injury or you DNF, like, does that sink your chances of winning? Like, is it critical for each one of you to finish this race, regardless of whether you're having a great day or not?
No, because we had four people, it was the top three scored, and it was the cumulative time, I believe, of the top three scorers on our team. And so we were like slightly disadvantaged as compared to like France, who had five runners, just on like the chances, you know. But but yeah, no, I mean, at the end of the day, like it's the top three of us who score.
I still think it's cool that you have that motivation to finish no matter what, though. That's super cool and admirable, and I salute it. Jeff, how about you?
I had a great race in mind and spirit. My body also was subject to really intense cramping. The only salt tabs I brought were the ones Adam gave me the night before. So thanks, Adam, Mary, for at least keeping me in the mix. But basically mile 23 or so, there was a long climb before this like actual jungle section. And we had a great group, kind of Eric toward the front of that, and maybe six of us in a line kind of running up to this high point. And my quads just started going, and then I started going downhill and my calves started going. And I think it was a great race in terms of mental fortitude and thinking a lot about my family, my friends, my community, thinking a lot about my grandfather who, yeah, did represent the USA in war, and thinking like, all right, I need to find strength wherever it is because my legs are just like cramping every step. And I know, yeah, I know Adam was feeling this. I know talking with Max King, he was going through a similar thing, and I didn't change my electrolyte plan from Western States, which is also really hot. I definitely hydrated a lot, but I think I just did not count for how much that humidity was going to suck water out of me. So the race went really well prior to actually towing the line. In the days leading up, I had a great chat with Caitlin Gerben, and she basically was like, Jeff, like, conservative starts, you know, they work in a lot of races, but at the world level, like, it's good to stay in contact. And I'm a conservative start runner. I run and like see what unfolds, and I've never put my you know, actual like foot in the ring in terms of like being up front with the leaders. And I think a couple miles into the race, Eric was behind me and was like, hey Jeff. It's like, yeah, Eric. He's like, is that Adam right in front of you? I was like, yes, Eric, you're in like eighth. Adam's right in front of me. And he was like, is that a good thing? It's kind of like, this feels good. Like, the effort feels good. And thinking back on it, like, I think some of the logic there is just like, if you are able to stay like with a group and trying to remain contact with that group, if it's the lead group, they're going to be running, you know, 30 or 40 seconds faster a mile than even that chase pack. And if that can pull you along, whether it's with great effort or effortlessly, for as much of the race as possible, it's going to be the difference between, you know, fighting for a potential top 10 spot, or kind of being removed from the mix. And I think Adam pointed out it's a cumulative time. The odds of like actually the top three teams, or like the top three scorers of two different teams tying down to the second and it going to a tiebreaker, I think is like pretty rare. I think that's why they do it for the 40K and 80K as a cumulative time as opposed to cross country scoring. Tiebreaker for the mountain races was based on your finishing place, not your time. So they at least want to make it so that if someone does have a rough day, the top three like cumulative times, you know, stand on their own. It's not a tiebreaker scenario. But I was getting a ton of strength from seeing Eric in aid stations, kind of, you know, leaving when I was coming in. And Adam, I was just like, man, I really hope Adam Mary passes me so I can hang my head down and suffer this one in. Like, this is brutal. But yeah, I knew like there was a different sense of responsibility, both being on a team and having that team be a USA jersey. It was cool.
Hell yeah.
I think synonymously, like across the board, every runner I've talked to has been like, that was the hardest race I've ever done. And I think a big part of that, like, yeah, it was the conditions. The course was also really hard, but the level of competition was really fierce. And like, we've got, you know, 8 minutes separated sixth place from 16th place. Like, that's a lot of finishers all together. And that's the type of like dynamic, like, wow, I'm actually like racing that guy, that you see more in like a cross country field than typically in an ultra, to have such a narrow spread, you know, deep into the field was really cool.
Adam Peterman, you won the race outright, man. And from my vantage point, you know, we've only met a couple times, but you appear to be the most even keeled, confident person I know. So I got to ask, like, were there any points in this race of darkness and doubt, or did you just like have it in the bag from the gun in your mind?
Oh man. I'm happy to hear I give that aura, cause I don't know if I feel that way internally. yeah, it was kind of funny. The first, 2 hours I felt pretty bad. It was, the first 2 hours was tough. I felt kind of similar to how I did at Western States, where when it was hot, whatever I was whatever I had in my bottles just wasn't really taking. And yeah, I would say, you know, we all ran together that first climb, and I really enjoyed that. I think it was great to just like have the teammates close by, and you know, we have a 5,000 foot climb that a lot of us were just power hiking up. But yeah, after that, like, there's a big descent, and it kind of seemed like the Spanish and the French were descending a lot faster than me. And then at one point around mile 10, I had to like take off my shoes and like fix my insoles. It was like total amateur hour. And during that time, when I took off my shoes, like, it seemed like the whole French and Spanish team passed me. And so now I'm in like 10th or something. And, I got kind of low at that point. I just felt like way more tired than I thought I would at mile 10 in the race. But yeah, I got to 30K and kind of was starting to feel better. Especially on the climbs, you know, there were a lot of climbs in the back half that were, they were on these dirt roads. But they're unlike any dirt roads that we have in the US, like really steep. There are these little roads that go to these super neat villages, kind of rutted cobblestones in the ruts. And finally, yeah, around mile 20, I think I started to feel like much better. You know, got in a good groove of like drinking a lot more water because it was so humid. Was taking gels, taking fruit snacks, kind of ditched the bottles. And yeah, fortunately around mile 25, I thought that I might have it. But also, you know, it's like really early, hard to say. But I think the hardest part was like during the race, once I did open up a lead, you know, you're in the jungle, so you can't really see like who's behind you or how far they may be. And then because just the nature of the course, like, I never really had updates on what was happening behind me. You know, I roll into the 50K aid station and there's like a short out and back. And so I remember going in there, doing the out and back, and then immediately seeing like this huge group of guys. And I remember I felt like kind of discouraged because I thought I had put like a little more time into them than what looked like to be maybe a minute. And then, yeah, so from 50K, you lose almost like 4,000 feet down to mile 35, and then immediately just turn around and come back up like a slightly steeper variation of that route back to the same aid station you hit at 50K. And so it's a tough section, like 10 miles, you have a 4,000 foot drop and a 4,000 foot climb. And I just tried to like pour on like all the effort I had into that climb for that like hour that it was. And you know, I think it was kind of fortunate that I never knew how far anyone was behind me. Because yeah, I just had no idea, and just, you know, did that climb and then big descent to the finish. And I would say it wasn't until the last mile on a road where I was able to look back and see that there was no one coming that I was able to like slightly take my foot off the gas. But it was, I mean, super fun course, really hard fought. I felt good at the end, but yeah, that had pretty intense moments for sure.
Adam, Mary. Oh, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
On the hardest climb, like on that last climb that Adam was talking about, he put 6 minutes. He ran that climb 6 minutes faster than second place and 9 minutes or more faster than third place. So there is clearly energy still left in the tank.
It was scary because it just didn't feel that way. You know, like it was so steep. I think I was hiking and hit like a 17 minute mile. And, you know, at that point, I'm like, all right, 17 minute mile, like, here they come. Like, they're just going to be breathing down my neck. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but I just felt like I was getting hunted pretty good that day.
Adam, Mary, I want to lead off with you on this next question. Give us your thoughts on, you know, post-event, what it feels like to win this whole thing as a team, potentially to win as underdogs. Like Jeff had mentioned that, you know, you guys were not expected to be like a contender going in. So what did that whole post-race scene feel like to you?
Yeah, it was extremely special, and I think a surprise for all of us for sure. Like, I think I remember us all kind of talking like before the race, and it was like, oh man, like I think we have a shot at the podium. you know, but it wasn't like we're going to win, you know? And so, certainly like that was a goal, you know, but like, yeah, it was just, you know, we had like four people, like we hadn't been there, like the French team had all ran the whole course. Like they got there like 10 days early and like had a shuttle service and everything. And like, we could barely hail a tuk-tuk and get back home safely, you know? So we were like definitely a little more scrappy type of team. And so to hear that we won, like, you know, cause we all kind of like found out that our team, that the men's 80K team had won, like progressively, like as people finished, like it was just really surreal and crazy and exciting. And yeah, that whole like podium ceremony that evening was just unreal. Like they had this like light show and this MC was just going off, like announcing the whole thing. And it was just like really exciting. Like all the nations were there, and it was just, yeah, to see like Team USA down there at our, you know, tables, like with people like raising the flags and like going nuts. It was just, yeah, extremely special.
I think, you know, Adam nailed it. Like we did not bring our podium uniforms that you're supposed to wear on the podium to the race that day. Adam did. I think Adam had an inkling maybe he was going to, you know, come top three and individually, but Eric, Adam, Mary, and I did not. We had no concept that like that was really in the cards. And even when I was at the 66K aid station, so with 9 miles to go or so, they were like, you need to catch Spain, France, and like, you know, these like runners, like to be in the mix. And I assume for podium again, and those runners, unfortunately, were feeling better than I was on that descent, and they got ahead of me. And I came down and I saw Peter Mascomo from Atra, and he was like, Jeff, you need to catch like the two runners right in front of you. And you guys could put, like, you guys could go for bronze. And so I was like, all right, all the way until like when I finished, I was like, maybe we got bronze. Like, my body temperature was going down. I was like ready to call for a medic. I felt really bad. They were trying to get me to weigh my stuff. And I was like, no, like, this is not okay how I feel. And Brian Powell, who was also there covering for media for Iron Far, which was great to have them there as well. First, he told me that I got 10th, and that must feel better than getting 11th at Western States. And I just like called BS straight to his face. I was like, I didn't get 10th, man. I was never in that spot. And he was like, I'm sorry, you're right. You got 14th. I'm like, why do you do that to me? I'm fragile right now. And then he's just like, but what if I told you you guys won as a team? And just like look of astonishment. Like I couldn't really process it. Went over and saw Eric once I was able to actually move. We had a moment of basically being unable to walk, but also giddy, but not really able to smile or laugh either. And shared in that for a moment. But yeah, I think the main takeaway on my end is if you're going to win something for your country and be on a podium where they play the national anthem, figure out how those first few words go. Cause you think you know them, and then you're all up there like, is this a different song?
Adam Peterman, I feel like Adam, Mary, and Jeff captured a lot of the spirit post-race well, but were there any memorable conversations you had in the immediate aftermath or thoughts going through your head that are worth sharing with the audience?
Yeah, you know, it was funny. We talk about the organization, how good it was, and it really was. It was impressive, but they definitely came from a background of putting on track meets. Because you know, you finish like a 5K and you're pretty laid out, but like a minute later you're up and moving. And I remember like finishing, and you know, usually after ultra you feel good for like a couple minutes, and then usually for me, like, you completely tank like for the next 10 minutes or maybe an hour. And so like finish the race, and then I like sit down in a chair, and they're like, all right, are you ready to go? Let's weigh all your implements, like, and or weigh your weigh your kit here and like then let's go to drug testing. And I'm like, guys, like that's we're 30 minutes away from that experience. Like I have to sit in this chair and like not move. And they're like, oh, okay. And then like they would check in every like 5 minutes and be like, are you ready to go? I'm like, no. But no, it was I was also quite surprised that we won. I think we all thought that France and Spain just kind of had us in the bag, like just with they were just so professional. Like you said, they ran the whole course the week before. It was just really serious on the line. You know, they have their poles out, all that stuff. And then, yeah, I was in drug testing. So unfortunately, I did not see Jeff or Eric or Adam finish. But I heard when I was in there, the person I was with was a Team USA volunteer. And she's like, you guys won. And I was like, what? Like, no way. And it was just really cool. And like, I couldn't wait to see all you guys when I got a drug testing and get that group hug. Like, yeah, it was super surprise and really, really cool.
I think at 50K, Spain had 4 in the top 7, just for like reference. Like,
wow. Jeff, who were the favorites going in your opinion?
I think Spain is a perennial favorite, but Spain, France, Italy, the UK, those were kind of the teams that had the most just like depth. The UK ended up not running Tom Evans, but Spain and France were really deep teams.
Yeah. Cool. Well, before we close up here, a couple more questions. Eric, let's start with you. Would you do this again? Would you recreate this experience in a future year? And if so, how soon? Like, I know Jeff talked about doing it next year at Innsbruck. Where do you stand on this?
I've been thinking about it a lot because it just happened, so it's still in my mind. But I mean, I see two things or three paths I could take next year. Either do kind of the golden ticket Western States route, do another World Championships, or I really, really had a great experience at Broken Arrow, and it's like the same day as Worlds, I think. So like, or do that and then do like the Broken Arrow Speed Goat, the rut kind of summer. I'm definitely leaning towards trying to make the team for Austria next year, though.
Have you gotten any feedback from fellow pro runners or people in your network about like just general interest in this part of the sport now, as opposed to like following like the golden ticket model or going over to Europe and being like the UTMB?
No, I don't think I haven't really heard from anybody about wanting to do this, but I have to imagine that since it's a little bit earlier next summer, that a lot more people will be able to do this. I mean, any month of the summer, you're going to run into conflicts. But I think with the race being in June, it will allow people to still go do the UTMB races. So I think we'll see a lot more interest next year, or at least I hope so, because I think it's a really cool event and I would love to see more runners try to do it.
Adam, Mary, how about you? What are your plans around this event in future years?
Well, I'm going to plug it super hard because, like, seriously, it's just, I don't know. I hope it's translated from all of our kind of retelling of the experience, but it felt like summer camp. You know, I feel like I came away with like so many friends, you know, people that I've known like on Strava and Instagram, or like I've seen them at a race. But it's just like, when as an adult do you get the opportunity to like travel with 40 people, you know, share a room with one of your peers, like race all together? Like, it's just super dope and to represent your country. And so I think for anyone kind of like thinking that Worlds is lame or like, you know, States is everything, like States is super dope. I want to do that too. But yeah, making a world team is like just a totally different. And I think I've been to States like crewing. I've been to UTMB. Like, I've seen both those races up close. Like, this was a totally unique and very special experience. And so I definitely want to try to make another world team in my future. Like, I don't know if it'll be this coming year or not, but definitely like I thought it was going to be really dope and special, and it exceeded my expectations for sure.
Adam Peterman.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Like, especially since this was the first year of Worlds, like officially with trail and mountain running combined, like I just feel like it's going to grow from here. Like to me, I think the most competitive races you can do would be like the UTMB majors, or UTMB Western States, and then Worlds. Like I'd love to see that be the schedule that people follow. It is going to be tough for me next year to try to do Worlds because it's the same. It's in June, and so is Western States. I've actually signed up for Western States yesterday, so I'm going back. So I won't be at Worlds this next year, but I'd definitely like to return at some point.
And Jeff, it sounds like you're gung-ho for 2023, but what is your official thinking here?
I mean, I would love to try to get back over there. I feel like we had a really great run, and, you know, David Sinclair was meant to be our fifth teammate. He actually pulled out with an IT band injury. I would love a scenario where the US is like, Jeff, we'd really like to have you back, but there's five way better runners going to Worlds to represent the US. And that would be sweet. I know that I can bring a lot to the table. I think looking at the French women in the 80K made me realize that, like, the way Audrey Tanguy and Marianne, I can't say Marianne's last name, but they actually tied. They ran footstep for footstep the entire way and like pulled more out of each other than I think they could have done on their own. That's a feeling I want. I want a team like that, like we actually have an understanding of how to like run this race together and compete as a team. Cause that was always my favorite part of high school cross country. And I think, yeah, I'm leaving this Worlds team with, I think, more friends. I got to actually spend quality time with like some of my biggest idols, you know, like these three guys, but also like Max King. And I have like a different appreciation, I think, for these types of races and the sport. So I'm going to try my best to get back there. I think if I get a golden ticket and I have to make that decision, that's always going to be a hard decision to make. But if you were just to look at ITRA scores or UTMB scores of this race blows Western States out of the water. This race doesn't quite compete with UTMB like this past year, but who knows how it'll compete with them this next year's. So I don't even think I ranked in the top 50 in this race, this race with like my scores. So there's a ton of talent in Europe. There's a ton of talent internationally. I was blown away by Team Mexico on like the men's junior race side, like whooping the USA's butt. Seeing like every level of this competition play out, and having these like strategic conversations with Max King about, you know, what type of races do we need to do for high schoolers that are going to grow mountain and ultra and trail running in the US so that they're thinking about it and actually can compete? Cause the juniors were so fast. It was like spooky. And thinking about, you know, growing the sport in the US, there's no better platform or like race avenue to do it through than the World Championships model.
The last question I want to end on is what your, future looks like in the sport. Like we're at the end of 2022 here. Like what is early 2023 to like mid 2023 look like for you guys? And maybe we'll start with Adam Peterman, because Adam, I actually have two questions for you. One is that first question, but number two, do you think that this latest performance at Worlds has done enough for your 2022 resume to become Ultra Runner of the Year this year? Like, do you supplant Jim Walmsley as the North American Ultra Runner of the Year in your mind?
Oh man, I wish that we had raced each other. It'd be fun to like actually go head to head with him and see what happens. I don't know. I saw this actually on your Twitter quite a bit. A lot of hot takes, but I don't know. Like, yeah, if Jim had been at Western States, I feel like he would have run faster than me this year. Like I ran 15:13, and he's run, you know, 14:45 when it's that hot. He's run 14:09 when it was a lot cooler. So, yeah, I wish I could have raced him, but I don't know, like based on the year he's had and then the performance I've had, like I wouldn't be surprised if I won Ultra Runner of the Year, but at the same time, like, it's just an award. Like, we haven't raced each other. So at some point, I'd love to race him and see what happens.
And then for 2023, it looks like Western States is the focal point. What else is going to be involved that you can say?
Yes. So yeah, I signed up for Western States yesterday. Super excited to go back. And then I'll probably do like a tune-up race, maybe Canyon's 50K just before that. But yeah, no races for me for a while. You know, I have a Nordic ski race planned for the end of January that I'm going to just do for fun. But yeah, Canyon's 50K and then States. And then we'll see how much of the legs are left after States. I mean, I'd love to run OCC or CCC, but you kind of to be determined once States is over.
Yeah, I've just got so many ideas. But so say I make the world team in Austria, I'll probably do Chuckanut, Worlds, Speed Goat, The Rut, and then maybe JFK. But that sounds like a lot of racing.
Adam, Mary.
Oh, man, my teammates have their shit together. I don't know, man. I just took a week off for the first time in like a year. So I'm still kind of like figuring it out. One thing's for sure is like going to Worlds like really opened my mind up to how many other like cool race experiences there are out there, outside of like Western States track or like UTMB track. And so I'm definitely like still super keen to get to States. I'm currently signed up for Bandera. I think it might be kind of a tight turnaround. So we'll see, but I'm also on the list for Black Canyon. So, and I love that course in that area. And so probably that, and then outside of Black Canyon, like TBD, but yeah, definitely still want to try to get to States for sure. But Black Canyon's probably looking like realistic at this point.
I love it. Jeff, how about you?
As I mentioned before, I had 2 full months off after Western States. So I actually was just ramping up training when I got the email to go to rep the US for World Champs. And Bandera's next on my calendar for beginning of January. I don't want like to plan my whole year around that and Western States. I hope for success at Bandera, but I really want to run Madeira. So Madeira 115K in April is kind of my target race for the whole year. And anything that comes out after that is a bonus. But I'm kind of looking at like this September through, you know, March season in some ways. And San Juan Solstice is another race that's like always been really interesting to me. 50 miler here in Colorado. That's the same weekend as Western States. I had a dream right when I got to Thailand that I got in off the Hard Rock Lottery. That would just uproot everything in my life in some ways. I'd be getting a bungalow in Silverton and bunkering down for the next like 6 months. So there's still some high target races, but going to put my, best foot forward at Bandera and hopefully get to travel to Portugal for Madeira this year.
Awesome, guys. Well, all four of you, goes without saying, but thank you so much. Thanks for elevating the sport here in the US, just showing up and throwing down in Thailand. We'll make sure to link to all of your relevant social media and links from the event in the show notes. But yeah, appreciate it. I know it's tough to wield 5 voices at once, but I think we did it fairly well, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon. So thank you. Thanks for listening. Before we sign off, if you are a fan of the show, please consider supporting us with a rating and review in your podcast player, a donation on Patreon, or the use of our sponsor discount codes in the show notes. Thanks again. We really appreciate your support, really appreciate you listening. Until next time, I'm your host, Finn Melanson, and you have been listening to the Single Track Podcast.